Bob Hale of Booz Allen is former comptroller at the Department of Defense. And looking at the now December 11th deadline that DOD and the rest of the federal government is facing, Bob, does a continuing resolution through December 11th hurt anything? How does it impact the way the Department of Defense will operate between now and then? Thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the chance to join you. Well, yes, there is some harm to any continuing resolution. In particular, this one has funding levels much lower than the president requested for fiscal 16, $496 billion for defense. The president requested $534. And there are limits on new starts and a number of other limits on what DOD can do. But all that said, I'd like to say I think DOD knows how to hold its fiscal breath for 3 months if they have to, 2 or 3 months. So I wouldn't see great harm if this can all get resolved by December 11th. If it goes the continuing resolution into next year, or especially a classic continuing resolution for the whole year, that would be a nightmare for the department.
There's pressure now on the leadership in Congress, especially on Senator McConnell, to come up with a deal by November 11th, because the appropriations writers say it will take them a month to get the bills done. To just the logistics of writing them, the mechanics of writing the language for something to be voted on by December 11th. What's your sense of what that deal would look like? And with a month or so to go, I mean, we have time conceivably to make something like that happen. What's your takeaway from prior history about what that would look like or could look like?
Well, first, I'm humble about forecasting the Congress. I think I wouldn't have foreseen some of the events of the last. I didn't foresee some of the events of the last few weeks. But if history is a guide, and I think it probably is, the deal will probably look a lot like the last two, the one late 2012, the American Taxpayer Relief Act, and the Bipartisan Budget Act in 2013. Both of those were, especially the latter one, a two-year deal, which I very much hope this one would be also, so we get beyond the election. Both raise the caps for spending for defense and non-defense. In the case of those two past deals, they raise the caps by equal amounts, which is clearly one of the things the president has said he wants. Whether that works out exactly that way remains to be seen, but I think they'd raise the budget caps. And importantly, both of them paid for those increases by offsetting reductions in, I'll call them, lesser entitlement programs and revenues. I mean, we're not talking extending the Medicare age here or raising the tax rates, but rather smaller changes in revenues and entitlement programs to pay for the costs so that the overall the deal is budget neutral. If I had to guess, that kind of a framework is what will prevail, but I'll circle back to what I said before. I'm humble about forecasting where they'll head.
Explain, please, what the term reconciliation means. We hear that thrown around a lot, like that's going to be the big solution to all of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it won't be the big solution, but let me explain it. And when Congress set up its current budget procedures, which broadly go back to 1975, they said that if the Congress passed a budget plan, they call it a budget resolution, which they have done this year, then in that resolution, they can direct their committees to reconcile their spending to the budget plan, and that's called the reconciliation bill. So this one, if it goes through, would probably defund Planned Parenthood, I suspect. It would probably defund the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, I suspect, and a number of other changes. The important part of the reconciliation bill, it is not subject to filibuster in the Senate. And so if the Republicans stick together, they can pass this bill in both the Senate and the House and send it to the president. He would almost certainly veto it if it's got the things I just discussed, and they probably wouldn't have the votes to override. So it's more a statement of political priorities than something that's really going to resolve the budget problems we face. The resolution needs to be a bipartisan budget deal.
And so the reconciliation process appears headed for the same fate as what we see right now, at least on the National Defense Authorization Act, where it doesn't really matter what the margins are or the process in Congress. If the White House says the president's just going to veto it anyway, it strikes me as kind of a futile effort.
Well, on reconciliation, I think it is. It's a statement of political priorities. I wouldn't say the same thing about the National Defense Authorization Act, although it probably will have to change in some manner and to get passed. It's got a lot of policies in there that are important, and I think, or I hope, in some form, perhaps altered, it will pass and be signed before the end of this calendar year. So reconciliation, on the other hand, I think, as I said, is pretty much a statement of political priorities, and it's not going to get us anywhere.
Bob Hale of Booz Allen is a former Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller at DOD. You mentioned the possibility of a year-long continuing resolution. The president's already said he wouldn't sign another short-term CR. We don't know, to my understanding, what the stance of the White House is on a long-term CR, but certainly based on the implications that you presented for the continuing resolution through December 11th, the long-term outlook for a continuing resolution for DOD, at least, couldn't be very good, Bob.
No, not if it's what I call a classic continuing resolution. Spend at the same rates throughout fiscal 16 as in fiscal 15. If you really did that, it would be a nightmare. The money would be in the wrong pots. It would be a lot less funding. I mentioned 496 would be the level of funding compared to for the base budget compared to 534 the president requested. You couldn't have any new starts without separate authority, no military construction projects. Now, I'll say, Francis, continuing resolutions come in differing flavors. Sometimes Congress will call it a continuing resolution, but put in, say, for defense, an appropriation bill or something that gives them substantial authority to do things different than a classic CR. That's what they did in 2013. Technically, there was a year-long CR, but for defense, at least, there was an appropriation bill embedded in it. So a classic CR, I think, for a full year would be a nightmare. If they have to go to some kind of CR or omnibus appropriation, I hope that it gives defense the authorities it needs.
So that's the other possibility that we're hearing about, and we'll go back to that issue of having to get a bill done by November 11th, the appropriators at least say, in order for it to be passed by December 11th. The implication there is that would be an omnibus appropriation for the rest of the year. That just means, if I'm not mistaken, that all of the spending bills are combined into one rather than separated into 12 different vehicles. Is it that simple, Bob?
Yes, basically. I mean, sometimes there may be a couple of them, but generally you're right. I mean, all of them are combined. I mean, it's not the best way to legislate because you're dealing with such a range of issues on one piece of legislation, but better that than not to get any kind of appropriations bill. So I suspect we are heading toward an omnibus appropriation.
Senator McConnell has promised no more shutdowns, but that possibility does still exist because he obviously doesn't control Capitol Hill as a one-man show. There's an entire other chamber that's in a little bit of turmoil right now, Bob. So that's still on the table, isn't it? That's not something that we should just say, well, it's not going to happen.
No, unfortunately, I don't think we can say it's not going to happen. I'm still hopeful that we'll see a budget deal that averts it, as well as some kind of deal that averts a hit against the debt ceiling, which Treasury now says will occur on November 5th. But we can't rule out the shutdown for an absence of appropriation, and that would cause furloughs again and a great deal of disruption. Let's just hope it's not in the cards.
The final piece of this that I want to cover with you today, although there's a lot more that we can talk about in the weeks and months to come, is the issue of the debt ceiling. Is there an implication for the Department of Defense in that debate in Congress, Bob?
Yes, certainly. The big implication of a breach of the debt ceiling would be on the creditworthiness of our country and the willingness, I think, of people to lend to us and perhaps interest rates. But if we really did that, if the government couldn't borrow, people could still work. It wouldn't be a shutdown like occurs in the absence of an appropriation, but the bills, there wouldn't be enough money to pay all the bills, and the government would have to make a decision whether to not pay some specific bills or whether just pay everything increasingly late. Neither one is good. It would certainly affect the Department of Defense and all agencies of government. But I'll go back to my first point. I mean, the big problem is that it would damage the credit worthiness of the country, and we still need to borrow funds from our own people and overseas. So I very much hope and I believe they'll find some way to avoid a hard breach of the debt ceiling.